This is Jerry Bain podcasting from the Coalition for Networked Information at Fall 2012 meeting. I'm joined today by Fran Berman, chair of the U.S. contingent of the Research Data Alliance and professor of computer science at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and Chris Greer, associate director of information technology at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Thanks for joining me today. You're forming a Research Data Alliance. Can you tell me about the concept and what led you to propose this new group?
There were actually a number of things that have been driving this in the perspective of those of us in the government. Mm-hmm. We nationally have been making a number of investments in data infrastructure on an agency-by-agency basis. That's true in the U.S. It's actually true internationally, each making investments in infrastructure. And all of us recognize that science is global, so a national infrastructure or an agency infrastructure makes no sense. Global infrastructure is more the goal, and that's been the driver for forming this Research Data Alliance.
From the community perspective, this is a tremendously exciting time. In some sense, digital data and its impact and potential has reached the tipping point in terms of public understanding and real impact in the scientific community. Mm-hmm. And the Research Data Alliance gives us an opportunity to really facilitate and accelerate the development of infrastructure that makes data-driven innovation much easier and much broader.
What's on the near-term agenda for the Research Data Alliance?
Well, we'll be launching in March in Gothenburg, Sweden, and that'll be a very exciting time for us because what we've been doing for the last 6 months or so is really putting together the initial working groups, putting together the initial charter and bylaws, trying to frame out the organization, talking to people about partnerships, etc. After March, we'll be somewhat official. We'll have an initial framework for the organization, and I think we'll be able to move ahead much more quickly.
So it's really important that the alliance be all about deliverables. And so in March, we're hoping that version one of the charter and bylaws are available, that the first set of working groups can get to work, and shortly thereafter begin delivering the kinds of best practices, standards, tools, and resources that will create interoperability globally.
Have you guys given any thought to what maybe the first product might be?
So actually the community has given a lot of thought to that. There was a global data meeting in October. It was attended by a number of U.S. and international colleagues. And we had groups get together and think about what are roadblocks to the kind of work that the science communities are doing now. Mm-hmm. What are pieces of code, policy, harmonized standards, best practices that if we were very concrete about it and we came to some agreement about what those should be and we adopted them, it would really move people's work forward. And people came together in about a dozen interest groups. Many of those interest groups are forming more formalized case statements, advocating working groups now, and some of those working groups will be the first working groups of the RDA.
There's been a lot of excitement in the community. It's been really rewarding. Everywhere we go and talk about this and introduce the concept of a working group, someone will come up afterwards and say, you know, I've been thinking about this idea. This is my chance to get started on it. So it's been really great to see the reception.
Wonderful. One of the opportunities presented by big data is the ability to combine disparate data sets in order to ask new kinds of questions. However, it seems like a daunting challenge to find ways to structure data so scientists or researchers from different disciplines can combine data sets in new ways. There must be many problems around terminology, granularity, etc. So how do you begin to sort out these kinds of issues?
Those are really important issues for the community to deal with, and in fact, many subsets of the community will be dealing with them in different ways. So one of the things that the Research Data Alliance can do is bring those people together to start talking about very specific instances in which they want to bring data sets together and how to do that. Does that mean that there's some policy about how one deals with the data set and how one shares it? Does it mean that there's a set of, metadata identifiers that one might use? Does that mean that there's a digital object identifier system that one adopts? So there's a number of different things, and we expect the working groups to talk about that as well.
Yeah, it's important to recognize that science is done by a series of communities of practice, that astronomers have their own language, their own culture and approach, and that's critical to the way astronomers operate, and that's not the same way that chemists operate. And so it's not a one-size one-size-fits-all situation, and those kinds of solutions don't work. Nonetheless, climatologists and economic scientists and land managers all need to work together in various ways. And so finding the right level at which to create interoperability is a key question for RDA. What's the right set of mechanisms that enable communities of practice, but also allow the exchange of data across those communities?
Here's another issue on this. It's not just within a community. It's also across communities. So say you want to study asthma in big urban centers, and people do study asthma. You want to look at things like air quality. You know, what's the smog like? You want to look at population. You know, you want to look at census records. Where do people live? You want to look at health records. Those come from three different communities, but you really want to bring them together so you can ask like questions, so you can integrate them, so you can harmonize them in different ways. And so we expect the Research Data Alliance to really facilitate those kinds of collaborations and those kinds of collaborations with those who can adopt the products of the working groups. So you can actually get out there and then start comparing asthma in Mexico City to asthma in Los Angeles, both, you know, large urban centers where air quality has been an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the grand challenges of our time in both research and education are things that cross disciplines, climate science and earth science, a lot of biodiversity, economics, resource management. All of these things require combinations of data across communities, and that's really what the RDA is intended to help facilitate.
Absolutely. Well, I spoke to Tim Lance earlier this week. He seemed to think that one of the problems is just even the amount of data people have is so much that even just storage is a problem. So how do you begin taking huge data sets and combine those and so they can talk to each other?
Well, there's actually two pieces to that question. So to be able to start thinking about harmonizing various data sets, they have to live somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that the research community is struggling with is where do you put the data so that it's safe for the time you want to look at that? And for some of these communities, that's quite a lengthy piece of time.
Right.
And more important, what about the economics of that? Mm-hmm. Who pays for that storage? How does it migrate across generations of media? Who takes care of it? Who curates it? You know, how many copies do you need so that if it's valuable, it's safe in some real sense? And so those are issues that the community is looking at as well. And we hope to and expect to have working groups from the library community, from the repository community, from the storage community, et cetera, looking at those kinds of issues, because that's a big piece of research data too, the infrastructure that supports research data. And so you need software, you need hardware, you need policy, you need practice. And so those kinds of working groups should be part of Research Data Alliance as well.
Well, and it's a kind of an interesting question, because in principle, big data can be part of its own solution. And the example to think about is the translation capabilities that many of the search engines generate by being able to access a common format, a web page, with the same information in multiple languages. And then you can, by mapping that information one to the other, can translate any language without knowing any of the rules or structure of that language. So there's an instance where by having a common format, you allow the big data context to help solve some of your challenges. And so part of making lots of data available is to enable these kinds of innovative solutions that aren't possible any other way.
Many of the professionals in the CNI and EDUCAUSE constituency work with research information in one way or another. We hear about new types of roles for information professionals in the world of big data. Can you describe how you see some of these roles developing, and are there particular models that you can point to?
I think this is incredibly important, and many of the EDUCAUSE audience are in institutions of higher education, and we are really facing some big challenges there. First of all, we have researchers. Where should the researchers put their data? Should they be on the college campus? Is this a role that our libraries and our CIOs can rise to? And there's a lot of discussion in the community about research infrastructure on the college campus where we put those things. There's also an issue about, you know, how long, who pays for these issues. As the agencies come and ask us for data management plans, if I, as a researcher, say my data is valuable and it's important for me to be sharing that with with other people? Where do the mechanisms come from? So these are really important issues for the data community and certainly for higher education.
So you've both been involved in the development of national cyber infrastructure for many years. What do you see as the key accomplishments that have been achieved, and what do you hope for in the future?
One of the really, I think, really important trends has been the appreciation of data as an infrastructure itself, that it provides a foundation for education, for research, that it has a value, it's an asset in and of itself. And so the recognition that's gone along with that, the notion that we do need a preservation infrastructure, that access broadly is an important societal goal, that's just been a real transition in the understanding of the value of that.
I think some of the challenges of that for the research community has been the economics of it all. You know, how do you pay for that infrastructure? You really need a different model than you have for, say, a research project. You want it to be stable, you want it to be reliable, you want it to be long-lasting, you want it to be usable. And I think those kinds of things are difficult for us to integrate into our current mechanisms. And so the challenge is, what kinds of new mechanisms do we need to do a better job with our infrastructure?
Well, it sounds like there's so many issues. Do you sometimes feel like you're trying to keep a lot of plates spinning at the same time? I mean, you've got storage issues, you've got talking to data sets issues, you've got the cyber infrastructure issues, you've got nudging the culture forward issues. I mean, what is your outlook for the future?
Well, I think like everything complicated in life, which is most of the important stuff, you know, there are a lot of moving parts. One of the things we're trying to do in the Research Data Alliance is not wait for the grand solution. There is no one grand solution that fits everyone. And so, like most things are structured, there will be some common, weighty, critical masses of activity that are really helpful for a cohort of sufficient size. And to sort of focus on creating some of those rather than sort of one-point solutions for everyone or one solution for everyone, which are the two extremes that don't work, I think are important. So you don't have to solve everything. You don't have to boil the ocean. But, you know, if you can kind of create some pieces of infrastructure, some policy, some tools, et cetera, that groups of people can work with, that's an important thing.
That's great. And is there somewhere people can go to find out more about the Research Data Alliance?
Yes, and we welcome people's interest. The website is rd-alliance.org.
Well, Fran, Chris, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here.